B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hour number two here, Zolak and Bertrand. Guys are off as they get ready for preseason week four, Patriots and the Giants. That's tonight. Coverage beginning at 4:30. Roche and Chatham on the call at 7:30. In the meantime, we've been taking your phone calls, talking about this marketability survey in the NFL, if the NFL has a problem or not. I do want to shift gears here real quick. We'll get back to this at some point. But I did want to shift gears because there's some news, some local news. And that is the TB12 Sports Therapy Center, now open in Back Bay. I don't know if you guys have seen this. It's right on Boylston Street. It's 699 Boylston Street,
nice.
Where Boston Sports Club used to be, okay? On the corner there, there's like a Bank of America, and then like one storefront over. That's where this new that's where the new TB12 is. And first of all, have you guys seen this logo? Have you seen the new TB12 logo? Look, it's right. You can see if you're watching on the simulcast back there. That kind of looks like the ESPN logo got in like a fight.
Yeah.
Like someone kicked the ESPN logo's ass and like left that. I don't know what that is. Like, I get that there's a T and there's a B and the 12 is all in there, but my God.
Yeah, you just kind of ran out of space and just kind of pushed it everywhere.
Did they just jam it all together? Like, what is this logo? I'm not a fan of the logo.
No, that's...
That logo kind of blows.
I'm sorry. Great.
I mean, it's not a good logo. I'm sure the methods are fine and all the rest of that, but that logo,
it's like a paperclip kind of got squeezed in there and distorted a little bit. No, it's not great.
Yeah. It's like the ESPN logo is, you know, I don't even really know what to say about it. It's just, it's very, very weird. Anyways, the 10,000 square foot, two story space joins TB12 Foxborough as the lone spots where clients can formally work with body coaches to train like Brady. Brady's business partner, Alex Guerrero, celebrated the opening on Twitter. Brady did too, tweeting out hashtag let's go. There's more to be said about this. But I also think it's important to realize that this isn't just the Boston location. They're opening up locations all across the country. Dozens of them. There's Miami, there's LA, there's New York, there's Chicago. I had a list here, but now I can't seem to find it. Jones and I were talking about this last night. We know that Tom Brady sold his house, right?
Or is planning to.
We put his house on the market. Yes. Don't know if it's sold yet. We do know
that... You put an offer in on it, Arcand?
I did. I've not heard back.
Yeah.
We know that he's looking at places in New Jersey and Connecticut, the tri-state area, and we know that he's sending his kids to school over in Manhattan. There is a TB12 opening in New York, also one in L.A., also one in San Francisco. Could any of these be potential landing spots for Tom Brady after this year?
I don't necessarily look at the TB12 locations and say, well, he's going to be in this city because there's a TB12 location. I do think, however, that it's possible that as he expands his business, he's more willing to look into that, you know, into his future and maybe even play somewhere else. Like, does he have to be in San Francisco because there's a TB12 location there? No, but I think this is just yet another sign that Brady is looking at his plans after football. He's dominated the football world. Now he wants to dominate the business world. He wants to be a huge, fitness mogul or, whatever he hopes to accomplish with TB12. This is just another sign that that interest is expanding more and more. And as that interest is expanding more and more, you have to wonder how long the football thing is a part of his life.
McCone?
It's Los Angeles, New York, Houston, Chicago, London, Miami, San Francisco, and Toronto,
so
by
just,
the way.
Yeah, just huge cities, huge markets. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to do, like, he's not going to London or Toronto, all right? He's not putting a TB12 location there because he thinks the NFL
to play
is
for
going
the London
expand.
Jaguars?
Exactly.
The London silly ninnies. Like, that's, no, he's not going there. He can be wherever to run his TB12 business. He can be in Brookline. He can be in Manhattan. He can be in Los Angeles. That doesn't matter. This is a pure business move, picking 8 of the largest cities in the Western Hemisphere, essentially.
Yeah, that's what it seems like to me. I don't think he's going to go play somewhere else. Personally, I don't think so. But the contract, I think, is a big part of this. The contract and the way it was sort of negotiated by both sides, really, but from Brady's end, saying, you can't franchise tag me. No one's giving me the franchise tag. And by the way, after this year, I want this whole thing to self-destruct in 10 seconds, okay? So there's no guarantees after this season. He's now put his house on the market. He's putting his kids in school somewhere else. And now he's expanded this TB12 empire all across the country and to other countries, to Canada and England as well. That sounds like a full-time job to me, does it not? I mean, it's one thing if you're just doing the thing in Foxborough and even over in Boston because you're here and you're around and you can do that in the off-season and whatever. Can you run all these can you run a national, international business and still play football and do all those things at the same time? I'll tell you what. I knew that this thing in Boston was coming because they announced it back in March, all right? They'd cleared out the storefront, BSC got kicked out, and they said, we're going to bring a TB12 down here to Boylston Street. And I thought, wow, that's great. Maybe that means Brady's going to stay for a while. Then he sells his house. Then he starts expanding them all over the place. I think Brady's retiring at the end of this year.
I don't rule that out. I mean, I've always believed that retirement is more likely than going to play somewhere else. That being said, though, continuing to play Arcand is good for the business.
Yeah.
And to answer your question, you know, can he run this international business while still playing football? I mean, of course he can. Because A, him continuing to play football is the best advertisement for TB12 that anybody could ever have. And B, it's not like he's sitting down there on Boylston Street running the cash register or, you know, checking you in. I mean, he has, I'm sure, you know, an entire team of people. This is why he has Alex Guerrero, not only to give him those wonderful deep tissue massages.
He's like leading the Soul Cycle class.
Yeah,
like,
all right, guys, yeah,
come on, we're going uphill now.
No, that's not what he's doing. He's not sitting there on, you know, on the, you know, training you on
Peloton.
Peloton.
Yeah.
He's not doing that. He's not checking you in. He's not the guy that, you know, gives you the towel or something when you go into the sauna. That's not Tom Brady, okay? He can do this while still continuing to play football.
Can he, though? I mean, this is a bunch of locations. Like, you just listed off, what, a dozen locations?
There's a lot. There's a fair amount.
He's got more. I mean, he's
I know he has people for this, I'm sure. Exactly. I know he's got people who, you know, the business people on that side. But doesn't that sort of mean he's got to show up at these places and make appearances and, you know, do things like that, recruitment and hiring and all that other stuff? Like, it just seems like that's a lot. For a guy who's going to be doing something else full time for most of the year, like, I don't know. I mean, I just look at that and think this is all happening right after a lot of very weird coincidences. Okay. So now he's expanding. The house is sold. The kids are gone. Like, I don't know. I mean, that just, it's a lot of dots to connect, I guess.
Sure. And I understand why you would connect those dots. I'm just saying, like, I don't think he needs to be there to be the guy cutting the ribbon, you know, at all of these locations. Like, he doesn't have to be the hiring manager, as you said. You know, he's got a bunch of people to hire. He can hire people. To hire people to run this business. Again, the best advertisement for TB12 is Tom Brady continuing to play. That is the most valuable thing for Tom Brady.
Yep.
Is to continue to advertise this brand, this lifestyle, this way of life by continuing to play football. When Andrew Luck is retiring at the age of 29, Tom Brady's out there still playing football because at least what he's trying to sell you because of the TB12 method.
Well,
that's more valuable than anything else.
If he keeps playing at a high level, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if he starts falling off, he said, I don't want to play anymore if I start to suck. And he didn't suck last year, right. Obviously, but his numbers did go down.
Sucking is bad for business.
They're trending in the opposite direction. I mean, is it great for business if he goes out there and, I don't know, gets hurt or has another down year or gets bounced in wild card weekend? Not that any of this is going to happen, just hypothetically. Like, it's good if he goes out there and they keep winning Super Bowls and he keeps putting up big numbers. If not, I feel like that does the opposite effect on TB12. If he retired right now today after winning a Super Bowl and being an MVP 2 years ago in his 40s, that's a pretty good advertisement for TB12 in and of itself. He doesn't have to keep going. Sure. I don't think.
That's fair. I just think, honestly, there isn't an athlete, I think, in the world that would be better at compartmentalizing this stuff than Tom Brady is, right? So for me, that's not a concern. I think what's going to be interesting this year, though, honestly, is how much Alex Guerrero we see with the Patriots, right? Because obviously with the Seth Wickersham article a couple of years ago, that became a major sticking point. And at the time, Belichick could kind of shut things off and say, it's this way. Well, now the Patriots don't have any way to keep Brady here past this season, right? So if you piss Brady off and say you can't have Alex Guerrero in the locker room with you, he can essentially walk out the door if he wants to, right? So it's going to be interesting to see how much Alex Guerrero we see this year around the New England Patriots, I think.
Yeah, I think that there was an agreement there with Brady and Bill saying, all right, you can work with him. You can even have him around. Just stop talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
Just stop talking about it. I don't want to hear his name. I don't want to hear you say his name. I don't even want to see him. But if he's got to be here, he can be here. Just shut up about him. That's what it seemed like to me. And that's probably what you're going to get this year. Do we think that these TB12 institutes around the country are going to be successful? Because I don't.
Do you want to answer that now, or you want to answer
I personally,
that?
I'll like tell you right now. Me, I can answer this for you right now. I don't think so. What did you say? Tom Brady's a villain?
Mm-hmm.
People are going to go work out at the villains, the villains gym there? Like, that just see. Are you really expecting people in these other, in Miami, bunch of Dolphins fans, go check out the TB12 Institute? Like, that seems very ambitious to me. You know?
I think it's going to work, honestly.
He's
picking major cities here where, yeah, chic workouts or what's going to play, and that's exactly what he's advertising to. I think it's going to be
high-end, sort of fancy people working out. Yeah, could absolutely be true.
Yeah, what is the average person in Los Angeles care, really? Mm. I mean, you know, it's the new hip thing to do.
True. They care more about that than they do about the Rams and the Chargers.
They're not trying to poach people from the Oak Square YMCA. Right, you know what I mean? Like, that's not the goal here.
They'll never get me. 617, they got a pool and a gym.
They got basketball
hoops there.
Oh, a big deal.
TB12 have that? They have basketball hoops? I don't think so. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Quick break, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We're top.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the sports hub.
The TB12 method is more than just a training regimen. It's a holistic lifestyle. With the TB12 method app, select your sport and the equipment you have available, and it will generate a customized workout plan with an emphasis on maintaining pliable muscles. So challenge yourself. Our goal is more than just better training. It's better living.
There's TB12 himself. With an ad for the TB12 app, I believe that was. Just type in what sport you want to play, how much you weigh, how tall you are. Tom Brady will make you pliable, boy.
Ooh,
he will get that pliability going. And you can go down now if you're too far away from Foxborough. You can head right down to Boylston Street right there downtown. Near the marathon finish line, actually, is right near where that is. And you can walk right in and talk to one of their people there and get going on the TB12 method for yourself. This is Christian Arcan alongside Matt McCarthy, Tim McCone here, in for Beetle and Zoe this morning afternoon. And yeah, the expansion, I don't know if that's a huge talking point yet. We'll see what it actually turns into here. But when you connect all the expansion in and of itself, I don't think it's huge news. It's big for Brady, obviously, and it's big for Alex Guerrero. But you throw that on top of this big sort of Sunday we've made here with Brady in the contract, Brady in the house, Brady in looking at houses in other places. If he were to go play somewhere else, do any of these places where he's opened other TB12 institutes, do they make football sense for him? Does it make football sense for him to go play for the Jets or the Giants or the 49ers or the Rams or the, what'd you say, Houston for the
Rams,
for the Texans, et cetera? Like, do any of those teams or those, you know, shouldn't say teams, but towns that have teams in them, do any of them jump out at you as a potential landing spot for Tom Brady if he doesn't come back here next year?
The Rams. 100% it's the Rams.
Didn't pay Jared Goff.
Maybe the most talented roster in the NFL or one of them. You put Tom Brady on that team, they're instant Super Bowl favorites. Plus, brand new stadium. They need to, you know, market that out there. You bring in Tom Brady for a year or two. It's the perfect fit for that franchise. don't think Giselle would like to be back in Los Angeles. Mm. I mean, they, you know, they built that castle with the moat out there in Brentwood, never really lived in it. Don't you think Giselle would love to end up back in Los Angeles? If he goes somewhere else, and again, I'm not necessarily sold on that, I think the Rams would absolutely be the location.
Oh, my God. That's a disturbing image.
Isn't
you're watching on the simulcast.
That's,
there's
that's
Tom Brady
weird,
in a Rams jersey.
That's weird. That's strange to look at.
His arm back to make it throw. I got to tell you, these Photoshoppers over at NBC Sports Boston.
They're unbelievable. They could do anything.
Oh, that is terrific.
Well
anyways,
done, Josh.
Yeah, nice job over there. I would say
they couldn't Photoshop me in a lower chair. They had to put
oh, yeah, that's true.
Chair.
Just a little behind-the-scenes talk here. If you may have noticed in the first segment, we were all different heights. We are now leveled off. Okay, we now have leveled our chairs off. We're
very
roughly
important.
The same height. McCarthy's about 5 inches taller than me. But now we're all right where we should be.
Yeah, so, all right, we've got these high chairs here in the mm-hmm. studio.
You're in the Tony Mazz booster seat.
Yeah, Tony Mazz booster seat. I never sit in these high chairs. I sit in those nice, comfy, low chairs. They're mm-hmm. they're very nice, very comfortable. So what do? I sit down in the chair that I always sit down on. I've been on this show in Felger and Maz all summer. It's never been an issue. I've always been in the low chair. Maybe it's just because I'm sitting here in this seat today, in this particular location in the studio, was an issue. I had to be in the high chair.
Sounds like
so
it.
So I obey my TV overlords.
I had to go. I had to come down. I was too tall and you were too short is the problem, which is funny in retrospect. Anyways, little peek behind the scenes there. Tom Brady and the most marketable player in the NFL, by the way, expanding his TB12 empire all across the country. I don't think it's going to be all that successful in some of these other places. Maybe in L.A. it will be. L.A. probably yes. Are people in Houston going to be flocking to TB12? Is it going to be a big deal in like a place like Miami where most of the people down there who care about football and sports probably hate Tom Brady?
Yeah, is Miami a sports town, though? And Miami is like Los Angeles. It's a terrible sports town.
Sure.
I mean, you're going to Miami for the beach. You're dealing with, you know, people, you know, Miamiites who, you know, it's the hot, trendy thing to do. TB12 is perfect for Miami and Los Angeles. You kidding
Chicago?
Me? There's a little of that in Chicago.
A little bit. I don't think this is, I mean, listen, I wish Tom Brady the best of luck, like he needs it. I think this is going to be a bit of a thing here, because for as much as I think that he's trying to do the right thing, and I think he has sort of pure intentions and stuff, he's still attached to that other guy, you know? Alex Guerrero's still in that picture. He's still very much a part of this, and I feel like maybe his reputation hasn't quite, you know, leaked in across the country like it has here in Massachusetts, but, you know, first of all, how great's TB12 even doing here? Like, is it really? I know they're expanding, so obviously it's not doing poorly. But do you know anybody that goes there? Like, do you? I just feel like it's not quite as mainstream, maybe, as it's being led to believe here with this marketing blitz.
I've actually talked to a few people who have done it, and you know, it's like casual people that you wouldn't, you know, expect to end up in a place like that. Like, oh yeah, I had a shoulder problem. I went there; it was really good. So I don't know. You know, the people who go there feel very strongly about it. I mean, in some of the stuff, listen, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a physical therapist, but, you know, more stretching, pliability, not, you know, building as much muscle, like, I can see the benefits of that. Sure, absolutely. It's a little bit more of a holistic approach, I guess. I mean, I can certainly see the benefits to something like that, but I'm not going to sit here and, you know, say that, you know, it's good or not. I don't know. I haven't tried it.
Yeah, I haven't tried it either. I barely go to my regular gym.
Please, exactly.
That would involve
me being active, Arcand,
right.
And you have to pay me to do that.
Yeah. All right.
A handsome amount of money.
Let's get back to the phones here. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Some people want to chime in on TB12. Some people waiting on hold to talk about marketability in the NFL. Let's go to Mike in Virginia Beach.
Hey, Mike.
Mike in Virginia Beach has a thought on TB12. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, don't ask me about Nick Cattles. I haven't.
I didn't say you brought him up, not me.
I won't, Mike. Don't worry.
That's a Zolak thing. And actually, I didn't call for this, but I will chime in on the irony. If you use the Sports Hub app, the picture of Zolak and Bertrand has Beetle like 3 or 4 inches taller than Zoe. So if you even follow this closely, you're like, wow, that guy must be a monster because you know Zoe.
Mark Bertrand, he's 6 foot. He's 6'9". A lot of people don't know that about Beetle.
You know, here's the point. How many of us know someone that's into the Orange Theory or wears their CrossFit T-shirt? You know,
hang on, Mike. Wait. What is the Orange Theory?
You haven't heard of it?
You go and work out in like an orange room or something.
What?
Yeah,
I don't.
That's the thing.
I honestly don't know.
I've never heard of this before.
I walked past one in Quincy. I was like, what the hell is this?
What does
like
it do? What does this orange do?
Orange room and people are in there working
out. It's just like a group workout thing. Yeah.
And it's orange.
The only thing is it's in an orange room. That's the whole thing.
No, I have no idea.
I couldn't tell
you. Wow, okay.
Yeah, I have no idea. I do know three people that are in even worse shape than me, and I am far from in shape. So, but they're all about that orange theory or the CrossFit thing, and they talk about doing burpees and stuff. And, you know, in the whole big scheme of things, this unfortunately probably is going to make Brady some money, but it kind of just seems like a money grab. And that's all kind of all there really is to it. I mean, it's just going to be one of those things where, you know, people sign up and, let's face facts, folks. You're not going to make avocado ice cream at home. You're not going to do these things that this guy, you can't live like that. You don't have the multi millions of dollars and, you know, affordability that this really does. You have to embrace that. Like, am I wrong?
I think you're absolutely right. And I think for regular people, I don't know what regular people, maybe that's the wrong way of saying it. For not ultra wealthy people, okay? This is not going to be super accessible to them, I don't think. It costs money to stay in shape like this. It costs money to go to SoulCycle. It costs money to do all these other things. And TB12, I mean, it's not just going to these gyms or these places and getting massages and stuff like that. You read his book. He's selling, you know, nuts for $30 and all this other stuff. Yeah. Like, there's a lot to this. It's a whole thing. It's not just, you know, I'm opening up a Gold's Gym. Come on down and work out. It's a whole lifestyle. It's a whole method, the TB12 method. And it's not accessible to everybody, I don't think.
It's targeted at a certain group of people.
Right.
People who have the money to do that. Have you ever just tried to eat healthy, Arkand? Do you know how expensive that is?
You got to go to Whole Foods.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You got to do something like that. Think about the time and the energy. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, make a smoothie, make this, make that. Like, you got to have time and energy. Of course you can do the TB12 diet if you have a professional chef in your life to cook all of your meals. Like, yeah, eating healthy is great, but for the average Joe who's on the run just trying to make a buck, trying to catch the commuter rail, and you're hungry, you're starving, you're going to get, you know, get a quick bite at South Station or something like that. Like, you can't eat healthy. You got to have time and money to do that, let alone adopt this type of lifestyle. It's not targeted at you or me, Arkan, that's for sure.
No, it's targeted at Felger.
Yes.
I mean, right? Let's be honest here.
And by the way, you've seen the stuff that Felger eats. Very healthy stuff.
Yeah, sure.
It's probably, you know, he's,
no question about it.
He's got the ability to do that.
He's more tan than DJ Pauly D.
Yeah.
Michael Felger. I came back from Italy. I did the Facebook live show with him. I had just come back from Italy. We compared tans. He had more tan than me. He's like George Hamilton over here.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, I don't know if that's because of TB12 or what, but it's because of something.
That's his thing.
That tax bracket, you know?
He likes tan shaming people.
you get in that tax bracket, boy, all of a sudden everything changes about your life. But I'll also say this. You don't go broke marketing to rich people. You don't.
Of course you don't.
You really don't. And if that's it, if that's who's, you know, upper class wealthy people are the ones driving the TB12 method and really sort of, you know, making the most of it and actually using it, TB12 will be just fine. They'll be just fine because you're not going to run out of rich people.
Why do you think he's launching in Los Angeles and San Francisco and Miami?
Exactly.
He's not launching in Tulsa, okay?
We'll say, yeah.
Or Worcester.
Or Vermont.
Yeah.
we talked about this last night. No White River Junction TB12
definitely,
coming your way anytime
definitely
soon.
Not. White River Junction.
A long
is booming,
day of milking cows out there. You know, you go want to get a deep hammy massage.
It's through there this weekend. It's booming.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. We got the headlines here from Tim McCone, and then we'll get back to your phone calls. Also, see what our peepers are peeled for tonight.
Ooh, no Hardy. I'm excited.
No Jones.
Fake football.
But we got fake football tonight, and our peepers will be peeled right after the headlines here from Tim McCone.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub, Beetle and Zoe out today as they get ready for preseason week 4. A lot of preparation time goes into this, obviously.
I'm sure.
Preseason week four, the most important of all the games on the NFL schedule, regular season or otherwise, I would
say. I'm very fired up about it. You know how I feel about fake football, Arkan. So week four is really, this is the coup de grace. This is everything that my summer has built up to. Tonight, week four preseason football, I am stoked.
It all really culminates here. Right here in Foxborough, right here on these airwaves, 98.5 The Sports Hub. We have the pregame starting at 4:30 and then going well into the night. Everybody working very hard there as we get this last game in. Normally around this time, we ask, what do you have your peepers peeled for? I don't do this. This is usually Hardy and Jones. That's their joke. But since they're not here, I'm going to ask you, what you got your peepers peeled for? Anything?
Yeah.
Can't get no privacy. I have my peepers peeled for one thing. It's probably the same thing you got. I don't know if you have something else, but isn't it basically just who the quarterback is? Who's going to play? Like, is it going to be Hoyer? Is it going to be Stidham? Who's going to play the most? What's it going to mean for their futures here with the team? If Hoyer plays the whole game, does that mean that he's, you know, out of here like Danny Etling was last year? If Stidham plays a little bit and then Hoyer comes in and replaces him, what does that mean? Like, I mean, there's a lot of different possibilities and ways this can go. We all know Brady's not going to play. Do you think that the quarterback decision will be made, or do you think it's already been made, I guess is the question.
Something tells me it's already been made. I don't think you're basing the future of Brian Hoyer, a 10-year NFL veteran, off his performance in the fourth preseason game against the future gas station attendants of America for the New York Giants tonight. So, yeah, I think the decision has already been made. I think they're keeping three. I do.
Really?
Yeah, Mike Reese has Hoyer on his projected 53-man roster. I generally tend to believe Reese on these things. So when I saw that, my antennas perked up a little bit about that. I think they value Hoyer. I think they do, and Greg Bedard was saying this earlier in the week on Felger and Maz. I think they value him, what he brings to the team, kind of behind-the-scenes scout team-type stuff. You know, and listen, Brian Hoyer is not the future, and you know, I don't care if he makes Tom Brady happy like that. I don't care one bit about that, but I think the Patriots do value that. So I think they keep three this year, I do.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people saying this, like with the Philip Dorsett conversation and who's going to be the last wide receiver at the bottom of the depth chart. I think they're probably going to keep them all in terms of the wideouts. But everyone's like, oh, he's Brady's guy. Like, Brady was out there campaigning for him, just like with Brian Hoyer. Yep. And to that I say, what's the difference between Brian Hoyer and Philip Dorsett? How about the fact that Tom Brady has to throw the ball to Philip Dorsett and he has no interaction whatsoever with Brian Hoyer outside of warming up on the sideline before the game?
He throws to him on the sidelines, Arkan. That's very valuable.
It's really not. And I just sort of look at that and think, what does one have to do with the other here? If Brady wants Philip Dorsett on the roster and he also wants Brian Hoyer, and Bill Belichick or whoever looks at it and says, okay, we want to make Tom happy here, let's give him his pass catcher as opposed to let's give him the backup to his own position that he wants. That doesn't make any sense.
Okay,
that's no way to build a team. What the hell difference does it make with Tom Brady wants his backup to be? But you don't do it based on that.
Bill Belichick is not going to build the team based on who Tom Brady wants. He's never done that in the past. Otherwise, Lawyer Malloy would have been kept around, and Logan Mankins would have been kept around,
right,
and Wes Welker would have been kept around. So it's not like Brian Hoyer is all of a sudden this golden goose. I just do think that the Patriots value him, not only for, you know, the fact that it keeps Brady happy, but I think they do value the behind-the-scenes stuff, having him in the meeting room, having him run the scout team. They were raving about him leading up to the Super Bowl. I think they value that. And I think you're going to see, you know, somebody else get cut elsewhere on the roster. Somebody that we're all going to overreact to and probably never, ever think of again.
Not
Braxton Berrios, because we've taken calls on Braxton Berrios for 2 years and he's about to get his ass cut. Okay, like we're going to have the next Austin Carr or the next Brian Timms or the next PK Sam or Bam Chilt, like all of these guys that we've over Zach Sudfeld. All of these preseason heroes that we have overreacted to over the years, and people are going to lose their minds on Saturday when that guy doesn't make the team, and then you will never, ever think of his name again.
Okay, so who's that going to be then? Because the one name that you just described to me was Jakobi Meyers. That's what that sounded like to me.
Yeah. I don't know.
It sounded like you were describing Jakobi Meyers.
I don't know if he's a lock to make this roster.
Really?
I don't know.
He didn't look good with Brady.
No, he didn't.
In week three.
So, you know, when that
he was all over the place, but not where Brady wanted him to
be. I will say, when that stiff Tom Brady isn't throwing him the ball, Jakobi Meyers is an outstanding wide receiver.
Sure.
Really. So, what is the value of Jakobi Meyers to this team if he's your sixth receiver, essentially? Because if he's not on the same page with Brady and you're outside Brady's circle of trust, what does it matter?
Here's why it matters. Because the rest of your wide receiver core is chock full of major question marks, including a rookie that has been injured for most of camp here. Not big injuries, but small ones, in N'Keal Harry. Josh Gordon, who I don't need to tell you how unreliable he is. You don't know what you're going to get from him. And then a guy like Philip Dorsett, who I actually kind of like, but doesn't seem to be, you know, at the top of anyone's chart right now. There's Julian Edelman, obviously. No one's gonna push him down. Demaryius Thomas, is he even going to make the team? Is he going to play tonight? That's another one. Maybe that's another one. Is Demaryius Thomas going to play?
And Josh Gordon? Too.
You know, are they going to get, you know, passes from Hoyer or Stidham? Are they going to show something here in this preseason before we get to real games that mean something? I'd like to see that. But outside of that, I didn't give a rat's ass about this game. Like, honestly, like, I just, there's nothing to watch. There's nothing to care about.
Okay, so I think as of last week, we all assumed Jakobi Meyers is a lock. And, you know, maybe he still is. I'm just saying this. Look at the numbers crunch. You mentioned Edelman. He's on the team. N'Keal Harry's a first-round pick. He's on the team.
Yep.
Josh Gordon's off NFI, so that means he's going to be on the opening day roster. I think Philip Dorsett is a lock. Brady likes him. He's a, you know, fourth receiver.
I think he should be in the system. Yeah, I think he should. He's the only one who caught touchdowns from him in the playoffs. Yeah,
right.
Last year.
Okay, so Dorsett, I think, is basically an automatic to be here. That's four.
Thomas will be on the roster.
Thomas, I think, has to be on the roster because you took him off of PUP. What are they going to do? Cut him and hope that he sticks around? And I think, Jim, you were saying this earlier that Tom Curran's been saying for weeks that they could, you know, maybe stash him and tell him to stay in Attleboro for a few weeks in case they need him. Is that what's been floated?
Yeah.
Okay, but I don't know if that's necessarily realistic because if you cut Demaryius Thomas, somebody else might come calling. So I think he's on the roster. That's five right there. And when you're talking about a sixth receiver, doesn't that guy need to do a little something on special teams? And I know Meyers has returned some kicks. He returned a punt last week after everybody's new favorite preseason hero, Gunner, got hurt in that game.
You see that cutback Gunner
had? It was fantastic. Ooh,
then he lowered his shoulder right into the punter
right
there.
I mean, pants off stuff right there. I got really excited. But okay, so a sixth wide receiver. What else can you do for me? Because if you're not in Tom Brady's circle of trust, if there are five guys ahead of you, what else can you do to make the roster? And I'm not so sure Jakobi Meyers has done enough to make the roster, given that he's dominated second and third string guys.
And he's had a good camp, too.
He's had a good camp. You know, and listen, maybe he is on the roster, but let's not just assume that he's automatically going to make it.
All right. 617-779-0985 is your phone number. What do you got your peepers peeled for tonight? Let us know, and we'll get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Jeepers, creepers, why'd you get those peepers? Jeepers, creepers, why'd you get those eyes? Gosh, get up, how'd they get so lit up? Gosh, get up. How'd they get that size?
98.5 The Sports Hub. Beetle and Zoe out today. Arcan, McCarthy, and McCone in, taking you up until 2 o'clock.
What would Zoe think of this rejoin?
I think he'd like it.
Yeah?
I think he'd be into it. Right?
It's old-timey music. Sinatra.
He likes Sinatra.
Oh, he's a Sinatra guy? I would not have guessed that.
This isn't Sinatra singing, though, is it?
This is Sinatra.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, maybe it is. I know he did this song, but that didn't jump out to me for some reason. Now, who doesn't like Sinatra?
Except for all the
husbands
so.
Of the wives that he got busted for adultery with. Yeah. back when that people. Was a crime.
Yeah.
Yeah, back those in the people. Day. Anyways, we were talking about preseason week 4, the least intriguing of all the preseason games, and to some of us here, none of them are very exciting. And I'm not one of those people. Week three means something. Obviously, you get to see the starters, and it means something. Week one, I like because, hey, it's football and it's back, and we actually get to see some guys out there playing football with the jerseys and the pads and all that stuff and the helmets. Two, eh. Three, definitely. Four, yes. I have no use for. I mean, it's just how can you really get too excited for preseason week four? No matter who it is, whether it's the Patriots or the Giants or any team in the league, you know you're not getting the starters. You know you're getting guys who are hanging on by a thread to the fringe of the roster if they make it at all, which a lot of these guys aren't going to. It's tough to get too excited about it. However, there are a couple of things to keep an eye out for. Here's one of them. And this is one thing that I didn't think I'd ever care about. Who's going to be calling plays on defense? Is it going to be Mayo or is it going to be a little Stevie over there? That's something that I actually have a bit of a vested interest in, because I kind of like the idea of Bill just turning the keys over to his kids and just saying, you know what?
Wait,
Steve,
you like
you're
that
the D
idea?
Coordinator. Brian, you're going to be the offensive coordinator. If I have any other kid, I think he has a daughter. She'll be the new head coach. And we'll just have Belichick's running it from here on out. For some reason, I don't know why. Generally, I'm anti-nepotism. But in this case, I'm all for it, just because I feel like it's going to drive people nuts. I know my co-host at night, once Steve Belichick gets made full-time defensive coordinator, is going to have a conniption, and I just can't wait to see it. Oh, I'm so, now rooting for that.
Yeah, but this is more personal in nature.
Absolutely.
This is for your own gain. It has nothing to do with the football team, Mark, and the betterment of the football team.
Okay.
This is a selfish thing for you, and you know what? I like this. I like this vendetta.
It's partially selfish because I want to see Jones flip out, but also, it's not like Steve Belichick just got plucked off the sideline. Like, he's been here for, what, 7 years?
That is true.
He's
the longest tenured defensive coach you have.
Right. I mean, he's been there longer than Gerard Mayo has, that's for sure.
Gerard Mayo's been there 3 weeks.
Right? Gerard Mayo just got there.
Walked in from his business job, like his desk job.
He was working on Quickslants,
yeah.
Last I checked. But really, I mean, Steve Belichick, if you care about the line of succession and, you know, who's paid the most dues and who deserves this the most, it's Steve Belichick. I hate to tell you, it is. He's been there the longest. He's worked right beneath all these people. Like, he's been there. And by the way, his position grouping, pretty good. He was a safeties coach. You got good safeties on this team. Now, you had good safeties on this team, whether or not Steve Belichick is the safeties coach, I would think. You know, Pat Chung and McCourty and Daron Harmon and all those guys, they're all pretty good players. They're not, it's not like, I feel like they'd probably be good if Steve Belichick was not their position coach. And I don't even really know what the position coaches do in New England. I honestly don't. I don't know that there's a real big influence there, or if it's just Bill sort of doing everything. I feel the same way about the coordinators, about the position coaches, basically everything, except for Ernie Adams. The one guy who Bill, I think, has, you know, total faith in and lets him just do his thing, and then he goes and checks in with Ernie. But for everybody else, you know, Bill's kind of got, he's kind of pulling the strings there, I feel like. That's how it's always seemed to me and to people who are close to the team. I think they agree with that, too. But outside of that, outside of who's calling the defensive plays, and who do you think it's going to be, by the way? Do you think it's Steve or Gerard Mayo?
I honestly have no idea. Yeah. I mean, to be totally honest, because it's been such a strange sight to see, you know, during these preseason games, Arcand, where you look over and it looks like one of them is, you know, getting the right personnel on the field and the other's calling the plays, and then it seems to be switching off. I don't know. I really don't know, but I'm fascinated to kind of find out as the year goes along. I don't think we're going to get the answer tonight, because if we didn't have the answer already, it's not like we're going to find it out tonight. And the fourth preseason game generally is the game where Bill Belichick will have the backup person, the backup coach, step in and call plays in case, I don't know, like Josh McDaniels gets sick or something. Like Chad O'Shea had always called the plays for the last 3 or 4 years, or Brian Flores called the plays after Matt Patricia. So I'm curious to see if that happens again tonight. And I know, you know, Mike Reese and, you know, the beat guys will be all over that, you know, if that's actually happening. So I don't know if we're going to learn anything, because this is the fourth preseason game and they've always done it a little bit differently in the fourth preseason game.
Like, yeah.
Who's going to be calling the plays tonight? Like, I mean, can anybody name any other defensive coaches, you know, on the team outside of Belichick and Gerard Mayo? Like, is it going to be the...
There's a reason why I mentioned those two names and nobody else.
Is it going to be, you know, the defensive line coach or whoever took over that? Like, I don't know. Let's see.
Yeah.
I will have my peepers peeled for that.
Yeah, I'll have my peepers peeled a little bit for that. We mentioned the wide receivers. We mentioned the quarterbacks. Anything else? Tight end? Tight end? Get your peepers peeled for the tight end position? Because I do. You know what? I do, because we don't know who the starter even is. Forget about, like, we know who some of the starters at the wide receiver position are. Do we have any freaking clue who it's going to be at tight end. Matt LaCosse has made one catch.
He's hurt.
He's hurt. You have Watson, who's hurt and also suspended for the first month. You have
Izzo.
H to the Izzo over there. I don't know what you're going to get from him. I mean, this is a position where it's completely up in the air as far as I can tell. I don't think anybody has a clear path to this starting position, at least for the first month, maybe Watson after that. But Watson's like 40 years old. That's a position I think could actually mean something in this game.
Yeah, but what does it mean in this game? Like, is Ryan Izzo going to be out there? Or if he isn't out there, then that tells you that he's making the team and he's going to be your starting tight end week one. I think they're putting all their eggs in the Ben Watson basket, and he's not going to be there for the first 4 weeks of the season. I think they
and also Eric Reed just scrambled his brain the other day.
Right, yeah, they're going to go really light on tight ends out of the gate. They might trade for some. They've been trading for a million guys at tight end. It seems like none of them have been able to stick, and they just traded for a bunch of offensive linemen yesterday as well. So that tells you how they feel about that position entering camp. I can just tell you, you're not going to get any answers on that position tonight. You want to talk about somebody else? Like, how about a guy like Duke Dawson, who's probably the seventh corner on the depth chart right now, but was a second round pick last year.
Right.
Do you keep seven at corner? Does Nate Ebner lose his job or something to keep Duke Dawson around?
I'll be fascinated. Not Nate Ebner. No,
I know. You can only save like $2.5 million by cutting Nate Ebner. How many core special teamers can you have on this team? You got a million. You bring back Brandon Bolden. I don't know. I'd like to see a guy like Duke Dawson stick around. Maybe see if that potential he can hit on that potential, over the course of the year, then keep around a guy like Nate Ebner.
I like Dawson because I feel like he's a guy that could maybe convert to safety.
Sure. Right? Yeah.
Like, eventually, it's not there yet, but your safeties are all kind of getting up there in age. Maybe this is a guy who can move over and do that. Because so far, I mean, they're so loaded at corner. I don't think he can really crack that now.
And he's been playing at safety, which tells you that he's on the bubble because they want to get a look at him. I mean, let's not forget Jason McCourty played in nearly the entire fourth preseason game last year, saw time at safety, ended up making the roster, which was a damn good thing because he was a good player for them.
And ended up being your number two corner in the Super Bowl.
Generally, corner, and particularly with how good the safety group is, generally when you see corners moving to safety, that's a way to see, all right, can you do two? Can you play two positions to justify your spot on the roster? I don't think he's a lock by any stretch of the imagination.
By the way, we got some breaking news here from Schefter about the return for Jermaine Illuminor, who the Patriots traded for. You got this, McCone?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we'll get to that here, and this is surprising. We'll get to that in the headlines, and then we'll come right back. We got some more thoughts on preseason week 4, TB12, Tom Brady and his marketability, and I'd be remiss if we let this Carly Lloyd story just fall by the wayside. So we'll get into that all in the next hour here. Here's the headlines from Tim McCone, and then we're right back. 90 seconds, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.